A clan of muscle-bound surfers on the north shore of Oahu, Hawaii, share a passion for catching big waves at Banzai Pipeline Beach. The pipeline has been likened to the Mount Everest of surfing, a place where the best go to prove their mettle and talent. Not surprisingly, there is enormous competition over who is entitled to ride which waves, and resentment against outsiders who don't respect the surfing protocols that the local crowd has developed. It's a dangerous environment, and without a self-governing control pattern, it would just be chaos out there, Randy Rarick, executive director of the Vans Triple Crown of Surfing competition, told a reporter for the New York Times. Another surfer pointed out that there are serious consequences if you drop in on somebody and they got hurt, or if you wipe out and hurt yourself. To deal with these issues, a self-organized social collective known as the Wolfpack came together to manage how people may use a beloved but scarce local resource, the massive waves. Wolfpack members have evolved their own rules for the orderly, safe, and fair use of the waves and for maintaining their own community. They decide who can catch which waves, and they punish those who violate their social code of surfing etiquette. Isaiah Helakunihi Walker, a history professor who has written about the surfing culture on North Shore, noted, "For the Hawaiians, respect is an important concept, particularly when it comes to being in the ocean. When surfers from Australia and South Africa arrived at the beach boasting of their prowess, the locals at the pipeline didn't take it very well. There have sometimes been conflicts among surfers, especially between locals and outsiders, which raises an interesting question. Who is the more legitimate steward of the pipeline, the local surfing fans or the state authorities who have the legal authority to manage the beach? Should the concerns of local surfers be allowed to trump those of outsiders? Whose commons is it anyway? And what are the fairest, most effective means for protecting it?" The Wolfpack Commons resembles certain Boston neighborhoods that have come up with their own rules of managing street parking during the snowy winter months. When Boston is hit with a big snow, it immediately becomes harder to find a place to park your car on the street. This can impose hardships on people who don't live in a detached single-family home with a garage. So, in some neighborhoods, residents have developed a shared understanding that if you take the trouble to shovel out several feet of snow to create a parking space for your car, you are entitled to park there until the snow melts. People indicate their right to park in a given space by putting a rusty old folding chair or other battered household item in the empty parking spot. It is not uncommon for outsiders to the neighborhood to try to remove the folding chairs and try to park there. Or sometimes a neighborhood resident will try to sneak into someone else's spot. This is the classic free rider problem, and it has been known to trigger scuffles and conflicts. Neighborhood residents wish to enforce their informal, non-statutory rules. Professor Eleanor Ostrom once told me that this was a commons. I was perplexed. How? Why? She explained that the neighborhood's self-organized rules for parking during the snow represents a shared understanding about the allocation of scarce use rights. In this sense, it is a commons. Like the Wolfpack's allocation of access to big waves, the Boston neighborhood's parking commons are a case of successful self-governance. But from the perspective of government, neighborhood parking commons are a case of taking matters into your own hands. Governments tend to be jealous of their authority and hostile to even small incursions on their ability to make and enforce official policy. On the other hand, the lesson from the Wolfpack and the parking commons is that local commons can provide types of management and order that government bureaucracies and formal law cannot. Boston snowplows may not reliably clear the streets of snow, and the city government's enforcement of parking rules may be unreliable or expensive. Hawaiian authorities may not wish to hire a police officer or lifeguard to patrol Banzai Pipeline Beach, leaving a void of governance. Or such tasks may be seen as too impractical or small for a large bureaucracy to address. But the commoners? They often have their own deep stores of knowledge, imagination, resourcefulness, and commitment. Their informal governance may in fact outperform official forms of government.